This is Mark Steiner. Today is April the 24th. Welcome to This Day in History. In the royalty of American music, no man swings more or stands higher than the Duke. That quote, of course, is about the jazz great Duke Ellington. And we're hearing a song, Take the A-Train. Now, you may be surprised to hear that that quote was said by President Richard Nixon. Today in 1969, Nixon awarded Washington, D.C. native Edward Kennedy Duke Ellington with the highest civilian honor in the United States, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. But the moment had greater significance beyond the jazz and creative talent at the White House to celebrate that night in 1969. Both of Duke's parents were piano players. His mother was the daughter of a former slave, and his father had once worked as a butler in the White House, the very place his son now stood, receiving such a high honor. That history, plus the fact that the Pulitzer Prize had turned Duke Ellington down for an award for his contribution to music just a few years earlier, compelled author Ralph Ellison to write this about that historic event. That which our institutions, dedicated to the recognition of artistic achievement, have been too prejudiced, negligent, or concerned with European models or styles to do, is finally being done by presidents. We all know about the genocide in Cambodia, Rwanda, and Nazi Germany, but few know the politicized origins of that word that date back to a 1915 atrocity that began on this day. The word genocide, made up of the Greek roots genos, meaning family, and side, meaning to kill, was coined in 1943 by a Polish-Jewish lawyer, Raphael Lemkin. It was used then to describe the actions of Nazi Germany, but Lemkin came up with the word after coming upon the accounts of the slaughter of 1.5 million Armenians by the Ottoman Empire. Today, 250 Armenian intellectuals and community leaders were arrested in Istanbul in 1915, which marked the start of that genocide. This is the 100th anniversary of that genocide. But it has taken the world until this century for most governments to recognize the Armenian genocide as a genocide. The reasons why are complicated and political. Turkey to this day admits that massacres took place during the war, but they are adamant that no systematic killings of Armenians took place. But some of the former members of the Ottoman Empire helped found the modern Turkish state after the empire was defeated, and these were the same men who implemented the policies of that genocide. Turkey became a key ally of the West, further politicizing the history of calling the Armenian genocide a genocide. In fact, it was not until 2004 that the New York Times even printed those words. Just this week, Germany joined a number of other countries which have voted to formally recognize the Armenian genocide as genocide. Of those countries, the United States is not one. However, 43 states have voted to recognize the genocide. Today, in 1886, a year when the American flag had only 38 stars, an American man named Augustine John Tolton became an ordained priest in Rome. This on its own would not seem unusual, but for the fact that Augustine Tolton was born enslaved in Brush Creek, Missouri. He was now being ordained as a Catholic priest in Rome 20 years after slavery was formally abolished in the United States. But his family had escaped slavery at the start of the Civil War. His father escaped to join the Union Army, and his mother fled Missouri for Illinois with their three children. In 1889, Tolton said, "The Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body. She endeavors to free us both. I was a poor slave boy, but the priests of the church did not disdain me." Here's a song for your April the 24th. Otis Spann is remembered as a great blues musician and a pianist. He was born in Jackson, Mississippi, and often played alongside Muddy Waters. He moved to Chicago when he was only 16 years old and was mentored by some of the great musicians like Big Maceo Merriweather. He went on to personify Chicago blues. For all his acclaim and recognition during his life, Otis Spann was practically invisible in his death. He died of liver cancer today in 1970, and he was buried in an unmarked grave in Burr Oak Cemetery in Illinois. It took 30 years for someone to notice. Steve Salter of the Killer Blues Headstone Project collected donations from blues enthusiasts across the world to get a headstone made for Otis Spann. It now marks his grave and reads, "Otis played the deepest blues we ever heard. will play forever in our hearts. In that spirit, here's Otis Spann singing with Muddy Waters, "Nobody Knows I Trouble." Exploration of this day in history, visit steinershow.org for resources. Thanks for listening.
Lord, I would love all you.